the fog brought into the studio. City of Grand Haven Mayor Bob Manetta, hello, how are you?
I'm great. Mary Ellen?
Look at that fog. Well, you can't see a thing.
Sometimes they say, look what the cat dragged in. I guess it's look what the fog brought in.
Oh my gosh, my ride in this morning was something, I'll tell you. And then I got to the lakeshore and it was all clear, but now it's all foggy here. So, yeah, and deer are on the move, too.
Yep. Well, it's deer hunting season, too, and so they're being pushed around a bit. So.
Yep.
Yeah, watch out. Be careful, especially driving at night or dawn and dusk are the worst times.
Yeah.
I drove home from Coldwater the other day, Saturday night, about 1 in the morning I was driving. I didn't see any, but
okay.
I saw an awful lot of them along the side of the road.
I did, too. And, you know, if I were a deer, I would be a beach deer, okay? If I were going to be a deer, I'd be a beach deer. And we do have beach deer here. You know that. Sometimes there's a family of like 7 of them. I'll see them in the parking lot. It's awesome. Of course, they take off as soon as they see the car rolling in. But, yeah, if I were going to be a deer, I'd want to live in the city of Grand Haven.
Well, you know, we,
I mean, come on.
They don't know much about traffic control, so they will run out in front of you.
Oh, I know. So yes, do not veer for deer.
And they don't necessarily read the deer crossing signs. That's not put up for them.
No, I know they don't. But yeah, if I'm going to be a deer, I'm going to be a beach deer. That's for sure. Let's look at the agenda here. You're going to make some appointments to the boards and commission.
Okay. Well, we're going to start our day at 7 instead of 7:30, so we have a special work session.
Oh, that's right. What is that about? That's about the airport.
So the airport has been talking about hangars for a long time. So the hangars they have at the airport are mostly very, very old. They date from the 1940s and 1950s. And some of them actually were structures that were brought to the airport. They're literally older than the airport and were brought there and set up. And, but they're all small hangars. They're all very old. They're in varying states of condition, but some of them are not suitable for aircraft. They're small and the doors don't work well. And basically, they need a whole bunch of new hangars, but hangars are extremely expensive to build.
Mm.
And when we looked at this before, like when in 2017, when we had the big windstorm, we had some damage, and there was some insurance out there to cover new hangars, but we couldn't afford new hangars because basically the return on investment in hangars is so long, you just can't make money on the rent on them. So putting them up is not a good business proposition, but having an airport requires you have hangars that work.
Yeah.
So they've been talking about how do they get hangars that work. Well, there's some money out there, some grant money they can get, which will bring in about close to $1 million to put up some hangars. And so they're talking about putting up a set of 6 T-shaped hangars. They call them T-hangars. They kind of interlock back to back.
Okay.
A row of 6 of those would give us it would replace one of our very oldest row of hangars. Our most decrepit row of hangars would become these 6 T-hangars. And that would be mostly covered by a grant of about $1 million or close to $1 million. So that's one thing that they've been pushing for, and they're working on getting actual design and bids for that.
Well, good.
So they can come to council for it.
Mm-hmm.
But what they really want to talk about is potential for ground leases at the airport. So the city owns airport land. It's encumbered by a lot of grant obligations from FAA, from the federal government. So there's a lot of things you can and can't do based on grants you've accepted. But we own that land, and we could ground lease some of it to people who want to build their own hangars. So if somebody wanted to invest in building a hangar for their own use, we could lease land to them on a long-term ground lease, and they could build it. And then at the termination of the lease, we could either extend the lease or they could remove the hangar or buy them out. Or, you know, there's options at the end of the lease, but the lease can be longer than 10 years for a ground lease,
okay.
Something our attorney has opined on before. And so that would be a way of getting more hangars out there. They would be private hangars on public land.
Okay.
And so that's I guess the question there for council is, do you want to tie up airport land with a ground lease and a private hangar for a long period of time?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to do something else with that land? But it is a way of getting some investment there that doesn't have to come out of the city's pocket, doesn't necessarily have to be grant funded, but and there's revenue to be made on a ground lease. You can charge rent for the land. And I'm not sure. I think the hangar itself would become a taxable item. So there's advantages to the city to doing it that way, but the biggest one is that you can add to our stock of hangars out there without direct city investment because, like I say, the return on investment is so extremely long.
Right.
So I think that's mostly what they want to talk about on the on their presentation.
Okay.
I go to airport board meetings as often as I can.
I miss
a few.
Yeah.
I missed the last one, but the last one I went to, they were doing polishing up their presentation, and that's mostly what we're talking about. And they were asking me, do you think this is what council wants to hear? I said, well, council wants to hear about you know, the business case, you know, the long-term obligations, all the practical side of it. So make sure you talk about that.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going to talk about.
Okay.
So we should be hearing about that. That should be a good presentation. Mm-hmm. It should be very interesting.
Yeah.
It represents a commitment to the health and future of the airport on the part of the city.
Okay.
So that'll be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we get into our regular agenda. We've got a couple of appointments to make, and mm-hmm. then we're going to have this an MSDDA update from Shondi Poppy. Shondi is the director of the executive director of the MSDDA, which is Main Street DDA,
mm-hmm.
and she'll be talking about things that went on in the past year, how the summer went, how the closures went for first block closures, and also for the dining on the streets where we take areas like parking spaces in front of businesses
mm-hmm.
and let them have dining out there. And so there's all that stuff to review. And, you know, when we agreed to having the first block closure last spring, we said we want to hear reviews in the fall. And once you get all your data together, come back and tell us how it's going, how it's mm-hmm. doing. We also like to hear something about, you know, we've got a couple of vacancies downtown. We may hear about how those are doing. It depends
okay.
on what information is available. That's all privately held land, so the city
right.
doesn't directly
yeah.
Tell you what you may or may not do there. But it's interesting to know because it speaks directly to the health of the downtown.
Yeah.
The other thing that's going on with the DDA is that we met last Wednesday for a Main Street DDA is an organization that's it's a statewide and also nationwide organization that promotes the health of downtowns. They have an accreditation process.
Yes.
They have standards. And we are an accredited MSDDA or Main Street DDA. And there's advantages to that. It kind of opens the door to some grants and some trainings and some good information that helps you maintain a strong downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going through a reaccreditation process. So last Wednesday we met for a while with people from the MSDD organization. They were reviewing our paperwork on our MSDD certification. They were
mm-hmm.
did a tour of the downtown. They talked to myself and Ashley Latch, and they talked to other members of the DDA board. And they gathered a lot of information, and there'll be more meetings to go with that, but we're seeking a reaccreditation, so to maintain that, and it's valuable to the city. Like I said, there's advantages, financial and training advantages for the city to have that accreditation. So Shondi is deep in the middle of trying to get that reaccreditation to happen.
Awesome. She's done an amazing job. I have to tell you, she's done an amazing job.
She has done a very good job. She's good, a great communicator. She gets out there and talks to the businesses. She
mm-hmm.
hears there's always a variety of opinions when you have all these privately held businesses.
It's not an easy job.
right. And yeah. Entrepreneurs and business people and shopkeepers and all those,
yeah.
know, they all have their strong opinions about how to
sure.
do their business and how to fit in with the community. And so
mm-hmm.
Navigating all that can be, it can take some diplomatic skills. And
yeah.
Shondi's very good at that.
She is. And, you know, we have the Grand Haven Main Street Spotlight that we do every Thursday. And I have to tell you, I have learned so much about the people that are running these businesses and about the businesses. And every person will say that Grand Haven Main Street is essential for their business.
Yep.
Every single person will say that we've interviewed, and what a great job that she's been doing. But yeah, I really appreciate it. It's been interesting to talk to all the different business owners and what they do and get to know them a little bit better. But it's so important to have that Main Street.
It is. And, you know, downtown development authorities are they're associated with the city. They
right.
work in tandem with the city. But they have some level of autonomy, too. And like Shondi Poppy is employed by the DDA board and paid by them rather than being a direct city employee. But she has an office in City Hall.
At City Hall,
and
right.
So it's hard to tell the difference between DDA and city functions, but there
mm-hmm.
is a distinction there.
Awesome.
So anyway, she's doing an outstanding job, so we should hear about that. It'd be a good end-of-the-year wrap-up.
I think so.
And that'll kind of tee us up for, you know, for next spring when we go back to what's going to happen next year and what's next for the DDA, and what other policies of the city would we be well advised to consider?
Right.
So there's all that. Plus, we'll be going into our budget season soon, so there will be more things to think about. And you know, the downtown health is very important to all that process.
Sure, it is.
So then we have. We have two items on our consent agenda. We've got some paying the bills, which we do every 2 weeks.
Of course.
And then we have a fee schedule amendment. Normally, fee schedules are set for different services the city provides in our budget process. So
mm-hmm.
they're considered in March and April and then adopted in May, and then they take effect 1st of the 1st of July, because their fiscal year runs from July 1st to June 30th.
Right.
And so the fees are always set, and if there's an adjustment, they take effect in the middle of the summer.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of a problem when you're such a seasonal community,
mm-hmm.
and so many of the services the city offers last throughout the summer. And so if you suddenly change fees in the middle of the summer, it's an awkward thing.
Yeah, it can be, yeah.
And so the idea was, well, let's change fees. It's a little bit outside of our regular budget scheduling, but if we change fees at the beginning of the year instead of in the middle of the year, that makes our entire summer season more predictable for people
who are trying to
nail down special events or fees for mm-hmm. using, whether it's the showmobile or a park or whatever, that if it's the same all summer long, it makes a lot more sense.
Are the fees going up?
And so there's some small adjustments to fees. There's about 6 or 7 items that are going up by a small amount. So these are minor adjustments to fees, but they're going to take effect at the beginning of the year instead of in the middle of the year.
Got it. Okay.
And so that's on our consent agenda to adopt. And
say
we got, for example, a street barricade rental goes from $15 to $18.
That
sort of thing.
Okay. That's not that much.
Showmobile goes from $1,000 to $1,025.
So okay, I see.
These
okay.
are small adjustments, but they'll be year-round based on the calendar year instead of our fiscal year.
And is there a nonprofit fee? Do you have nonprofit fees when they hold an event?
Yeah, there's like...
So you do four, have different fees.
There's okay. four different levels for example, showmobile rental or stadium screening. There's different ones for resident, non-resident, profit,
nonprofit.
Got it.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a fairly fine-grained distinction there, but it's it is in there. And
okay.
So the adjustments always reflect that. The amount you pay, if you're a resident of the city and you're paying taxes and all that, you get a lower rate than a non-resident who doesn't otherwise contribute to the city's income. So, yeah, that does make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But the adjustments in this case are very small.
Okay.
But that does make sense to do it that way.
Yep.
And then we basically one item of new business. This is something that came up a year ago. We have an Economic Development Corporation and Brownfield Redevelopment Authority Board, which is a unified board, but it's two separate functions. They're authorized under two separate state laws. They date back to the 1970s and 1990s, but they're combined into a single board in the city,
mm-hmm.
and they manage things like financial incentives for. Like if an industry is going to invest in their industry, they want a tax abatement of some sort. Or if somebody's investing in contaminated land or land with obsolete structures or obsolete utilities, it falls under the brownfield laws. And so this is a board that manages the analysis and granting of incentives, but the city council always has to approve incentives because they involve state taxes, city taxes. And sometimes they involve state taxes or school taxes. But the EDC BRA board has an old set of bylaws and an old set of guidelines, which date back to the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
And so they rewrote those, and this board has got some new guidelines ready to go for analyzing incentives.
Okay.
And that was presented to council a year ago, mm-hmm. and there was some pushback from council about who's doing the analysis and what the limits are, what the boundaries are, and how do we make sure that appropriate people are paying the incentives. And so I went back to the EDC BRA board, and they've done some rework on that, and it's coming back to council now. So we believe that all of the concerns that council had at that time have been resolved.
Oh, good.
So it should all be good.
Now, we have a report from a city manager. I know about the community survey and strategy session. I had that story, but she's going to be selecting a date when you're going to present that. Is that what that's all about?
Yeah.
So
this community survey and strategy session, that's something new that we're doing.
Yes.
We're asking people, before we start our budget process and before city council meets for their own strategic planning session, a goal-setting session, we're going to take a quick straw poll of the community and ask, what's important to you? How do you feel the city is addressing problems, and what do you think the city should be focusing on in the next year, and kind of how are we doing, and what should we be doing, and get some quickie feedback for our council to have something to base their analysis on. And so we like people to participate this. I took the survey just to see how it goes. It's pretty easy to take.
Okay.
You get to prioritize a whole bunch of different things. You have lots of room for comments if you want to say, well, you're doing great on this, or you shouldn't be doing that, or you're not doing well on something else. Let us know what you think, because usually the comments are more valuable than the rankings of different specific items in there.
Okay.
So when we see those comments, we read them all, and then we take that to heart, and we can't address everybody's concerns, but we'll see how we can fold that into our budget process.
Yeah.
So it's really important. It's like any kind of survey, or whether it's a survey or an election or anything else, you know, the day kind of belongs to those who participate. So
it does.
If you want to have your voice heard, you got to participate.
Exactly.
So go to our website. You can pick it up there, take the survey, and gives a piece of your mind.
Yep.
And then we're also on report by city manager, our own Dana Colawear from, she's currently the deputy director of public works over at the Terrell Building.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to move to City Hall and become the assistant city manager.
Okay.
So we have a vacancy there in our assistant city manager office. And so she'll be working directly with Ashley Latch and helping with day-to-day operation of the city, plus some of the planning and some of the economic development analysis the city does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dana has a long experience. She's been our DDA director in the past. She's also been the DDA director in the city of Holland.
Oh, wow. And I know her from.
And she also worked for MEDC in the state of Michigan. So she's got a deep, deep background.
Yeah, wonderful.
Economic development and community relations and all this stuff. And she's been doing an outstanding job with public works. She's got everybody over there well organized, and they're all working together. And she's just been a tremendous asset to the city.
That's good to hear.
This will be a new role for her.
Good to hear. We're out of time. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
I'll be watching. The meeting is always streamed on the City of Grand Haven's Facebook page.
Grand Haven's favorite music and more. 92.1 WGHN, Grand Haven, Spring Lake, Ferrisburg.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. We begin with a big change to you.